Washington, D.C., two Sudanese pastors face death in Sudan.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
As I speak, people are being crucified, people are being burned alive, they're being beheaded, and their only offense is that they have a different religious perspective than the radical Islamists who are trying to purify their faith, who are commanded by God under their view of religion to kill or convert every Christian they can find.
What went through your mind when you were arrested and found out what you were going to be charged with? What were you thinking when that happened?
It was very difficult. And it was a shock. I was living a normal life. Never thought one day that anything like this could happen. They'd always tell me, do you want to die?
Yeah.
And they would always tell me, it's better that you renounce and get back in with Islam. And that was something I would not do.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We are focusing today on two Christian pastors who are facing death. Death because of their Christian faith, being put on trial in Sudan, the same country that tried and sentenced to death Miriam Ebrahim. Remember in her story, she was sentenced to 100 lashes and death by hanging. She gave birth shackled. We're going to have a special interview with Miriam Ebrahim that I did earlier this month, but for the first time, we played the full interview for you on the broadcast in the later segments of the broadcast today. But we've got to do the same kind of advocacy work for these two Christian pastors as we have done for others. And we know that there is hope. It's certainly they are in dire situations, and I don't want to overpromise anything, but we have a duty as Christians to help these pastors and to use our voice. We have the freedom of speech to use our voice to raise this issue around the world. And it starts with the Christian community here in America. We have such unbelievable freedoms, and we have shows like Jay Sekulow Live on your radio station that are able to get this information out so that activism can begin and people are aware of what is happening. And you'll see more and more government officials join in to this campaign, and that's what happened in Miriam Ebrahim's situation. That same kind of momentum could make the difference here, and we've got to do everything we can. It's an uphill battle every time to save these two pastors. To get involved in our petition, you can go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org, aclj.org. You'll see right on the homepage, Save Two Christian Pastors from Death. At this time, over 50,000 people have already signed on this petition in 24 hours. We want you to be on this as well. We need to start raising this issue so it becomes one that is talked about in the news media, that is talked about internationally, is talked about by government officials. It starts with us, folks. We are the grassroots. Call now, 877-989-2255, to add your name to this petition. Let's help save these two Christian pastors facing death in Sudan. Their names are Yat Michael Root, is 49 years old, and he is South Sudanese, gave a sermon at a Khartoum evangelical church that's in Sudan. He has been arrested and charged with inciting organized groups. That's absolutely because of working with Christians, being a national security threat, just like they talk about with Saeed Abedini in Iran, and, quote, offending Islamic beliefs, which basically all of us as Christians are guilty of that in this strict interpretation of Sharia law. There's also Peter Yain Reith, 36 years old. He's also a pastor of the South Sudanese Presbyterian Evangelical Church. He and his wife have a one-year-old daughter. He is charged with the same crimes, inciting organized groups and offending Islamic beliefs. They are on trial. This is a death penalty case, folks. We need to take action. We have a brand new petition. This is how it starts. This is how the news gets out there. Be part of it. Help us make this a worldwide story and call for their release. Call our toll-free number right now, 877-989-2255. This is how it starts, folks. Save two Christian pastors from death. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. We've got a blog up about their situation, a news report up about their situation. We'll discuss it more today on the broadcast, but we need your help. Call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. We'll be right back.
In Sudan, two Christian pastors face a possible death sentence for their faith. The two were arrested months ago by Sudan's Islamist security services. Their crime? Their Christian faith. Their punishment? A possible death sentence. These two Christian pastors are set to face trial in just days. Just like Miriam Ibrahim, who was sentenced to die in Sudan for her Christian faith last year, these two pastors could be sentenced to hang for their faith if the world is silent. Miriam is now free because you spoke out. Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Today we are focused on two Christian pastors who face a death sentence in Sudan because of, quote, offending Islamic beliefs and, quote, inciting organized groups. Again, this is happening similar to what happened to Miriam Ibrahim. We need that international outcry. The outcry starts here. We put together a movie about this called LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. That's the website. You can watch the whole movie in HD, absolutely free. Share it with your friends and family. LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. And I want to play for you some of that movie today because you have to have hope. And as Christians, especially as Christians here in the United States, we have a duty, folks, to stand for the persecuted and to speak out when we're able to. And we're able to in this situation involving two Christian pastors. To get involved, sign our brand new petition. You call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's listen to some of our new documentary, Let My People Go.
Religious persecution is a situation where your life is literally put in jeopardy simply because of what you believe or what you might want to share in your faith, and your life's at risk.
We as Americans face religious discrimination. We do not face religious persecution like we see in other places in the world.
The level of persecution is on the rise. It's being reported more. We're seeing it, and we can see the imagery. We can see the brutality.
There's an element of violence or physical harm.
Persecution in other countries is very different. It's a matter of life and death.
We're talking about situations where people are put in jail, threatened with death or life imprisonment simply because of who they are and what they believe.
Don't even use the word persecution. I use the term religious cleansing now because it's the eradication of the entire Christian presence in country after country.
Every successive movement is becoming more vicious, more barbaric, and more savage than the previous one.
People are being killed because of their faith, brutally murdered because of their faith, being sold into slavery because of their faith.
There's a much larger issue here. For the last 5 or 6 years, there's been tremendous persecution, almost a genocide.
Now we're seeing, of course, the rise of Islamic extremism.
They're out to cause total death and destruction.
There's religious persecution all over that country, but they're most harsh on people who turn away from Islam.
We have to be cognizant of the fact that globally, persecution is as alive and well as it has ever been.
These techniques, these tactics, this brutality is not new. It's just now in our living rooms, and we're seeing it in our own nations.
There are 6 Jews left in the whole of Iraq. It was the biggest Jewish community in the Middle East. And now we have 6.
It's like it's open season on Christians.
Basically killing infidels so they can go and get their reward.
Level of brutality is hitting a point that you didn't see before. It used to be people get arrested, they may even be executed. But now being burned alive, it seems medieval, but it's happening in 2014 and it's getting worse.
This is a global attack and civilians are the targets.
It is really our solemn duty to stand up and stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters.
We have lost everything in the last few days, literally.
Saeed became a believer in 2000. Soon after that, he started house churches, underground churches. He was arrested by the intelligence police, and he was told as long as he discontinued any house church movement, that they would allow him to freely move back and forth into Iran, see his family, his parents, his siblings. One of the intelligence police even suggested, why don't you do humanitarian efforts? So when he came back in 2009, we were praying and we both had a huge heart for the orphans. The government actually gave us approval. Between 2009 and 2012, Saeed traveled into Iran more than 9 times. He followed all the guidelines he was given by the government. Unfortunately, he was stopped. His passport was taken as he was leaving to come back to the US. He was under house arrest for 2 months, from July to September. And in September of 2012, the house was raided, his parents' house that he was staying at in Iran, and he was taken by Revolutionary Guards. I got in touch with the State Department immediately. It was the hardest phone call of my life because I expected something, and they said, there's nothing we can do.
Saeed had traveled back and forth to Iran several times since 2009, and this was the first instance where, before he left, he said, Nagme, should anything happen to me, I want you to reach out to this news reporter who he had connected to via Facebook. She'll know what to do. Lisa Daftari, who's been great on Saeed's case, called my cell phone and said, Tiffany, I don't know who else to give this client to you except for the ACLJ. Would you be willing to talk to her?
So I immediately called and said, this is what's happened. We don't know where he is.
We're on the phone with Nagme Abedini, his wife, here in the United States. We started working on his situation within 24 hours of his arrest. By the time Saeed was returned home and put under house arrest, we represented Saeed internationally.
From that moment, of course, it's a highly intense situation. We step in both as advocates, somebody who can step in, removed from the emotion, to be able to provide objectivity to what is a situation that's very hard to have clarity in when it's one of your family members who's been taken or missing. It was also her Christian counselor who sat and prayed with her through a very difficult time.
I don't know if people realize how crucial ACLJ was in our life. I believe it was God's provision that ACLJ had already dealt with legal issues in Iran. They already knew a lot of the legal system, they were very familiar with the Iranian system, the court.
Saeed Abedini's case was not the first case, not the first apostasy case, not the first death penalty case we handled. We handled the case for another Iranian, Yousef Nadarkhani.
Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani is an Iranian Christian pastor, and he was in prison because of his work as a Christian, the house churches that these Christians are involved in. And it's questionable, even under Iranian law, if that's even illegal. There are a number of Christians imprisoned in Iran only because of their faith. They came to us because he was in a dire situation. They're not attorneys, so a smaller ministry said, can you help? Can you do something? He's on death row. He's been given a death sentence, so not just a prison sentence, but a death sentence. Is there anything you can do? And so we launched an international campaign.
A Christian pastor in Iran imprisoned for nearly 3 years, facing a death sentence because of his Christian faith. July 8, 2012 marked the 1,000th day of captivity for Christian pastor Yousef Nadarkhani, facing execution for simply becoming a Christian. When Iranian officials demanded that he recant his faith in Jesus Christ or die, he responded with 2 words, I cannot. It is vital to keep Pastor Yousef in the spotlight and the pressure on Iran. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are doing all that we can in this country and abroad to secure his freedom. Our Tweet for Yousef campaign reaches more than 2.2 million Twitter accounts daily, spanning the globe, connecting 200 countries around the world, calling attention to the plight of Pastor Yousef. We also know the importance of the power of prayer, and so does Pastor Yousef. In a letter he released from prison not long ago, He specifically thanked everyone who has, quote, asked for my release or campaigns and human rights activities which are going on against the charges which are applied to me, end quote. He also had one simple request. Pray for me, he wrote. Please continue to pray for Pastor Youssef and all those who face persecution because of their Christian faith.
When the regime gets more radical, as it was under Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani when he was in prison, they not only put him in jail or in prison, but they sentenced him to death. And they charged him with also being an apostate. That means someone who left Islam. So he was a Muslim and he converted to Christianity. In his trial, his death penalty trial, this is how much it is about religion and nothing else, and about faith and nothing else. They gave him three opportunities to renounce his faith, and he would have walked out. So not only would he have not faced the death penalty, he would have walked out of prison. And the court case would have been over if he would have just said, I don't believe in Christ, I'm now a Muslim, gone through the Muslim prayer, and that would be it.
Canon Andrew White is a great hero of mine. He created a church, St. George's, in Baghdad with the remnants of the Christian community there and established clinics and other aid programs to help them and to help the few remaining Jews and to help Muslims in the area.
And things have been very difficult recently. There's been a major increase in violence. A lot of our people have started fleeing again because they feel under attack, and they are being attacked. And another problem is that a lot of our people who fled before to Syria are now fleeing back. And we've had to help these people who've come back with absolutely nothing. No money, no house, no food. So we're having to do a lot for them as well.
Folks, you just heard a part of our new documentary, which is available for you absolutely free. It's called Let My People Go. And you go to the website, it's letmypeoplegomovie.com, about the persecuted church, the work that we're doing. This is a brand new movie. It includes never-before-seen footage of Saeed Abedini and his family and sit-downs and discussions with people who are facing the threat from the Islamic State. Go to letmypeoplegomovie.com. Watch it. It's absolutely free, and share it with your friends and family. Also, let's take a stand for these two Christian pastors in Sudan who are facing a death penalty. Call now. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. In Sudan, two Christian pastors face a possible death sentence for their faith. The two were arrested months ago by Sudan's Islamist security services. Their crime? Their Christian faith. Their punishment? A possible death sentence. These two Christian pastors are set to face trial in just days. Just like Miriam Ibrahim, who was sentenced to die in Sudan for her Christian faith last year, these two pastors could be sentenced to hang for their faith if the world is silent. Miriam is now free because you spoke out. Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I had, as we're talking about the persecution and these two Christian pastors who are facing death in Sudan, being put on trial in a similar way that Miriam Ebrahim, who is now here in the United States, was put on trial. She was pregnant at the time, was a mother already, was put on trial and sentenced to death by hanging and 100 lashes. She is free, but it is only because of international outcry, prayers, and people around the world and leaders around the world getting involved. And it was an uphill battle. This is an uphill battle. But I got to sit down and talk to Miriam Ebrahim about her experience going through this real New Testament-style persecution. I mean, she gave birth in shackles, folks, at a prison. And they were even worried about complications there. Praise God, there were not to the new child, Maya. But take a listen. My interview with Miriam Ebrahim, who has been in the same situation as these two pastors.
It is truly an honor today to be able to sit down here in the United States of America with Miriam Ebrahim. And thank you for being with us and taking time to talk about your experience. First question for you. What went through your mind when you were arrested and found out what you were going to be charged with? And what was that experience like? What were you thinking when that happened?
It was very difficult. And it was a shock. I was living a normal life. Never thought one day that anything like this could happen.
Did you believe at any point that this was some kind of test of your faith? That this was, you know, we read about it in our Bible, that normal people, people who are not necessarily on the street corners and shouting out and trying to cause trouble, we all will experience tests of our faith, some much more extreme than others, and yours was as extreme as anything we read about in the New Testament. So to you, was it directly, did you feel like it was a kind of a test or a test of your faith?
Absolutely. It was truly a test of faith.
What was it like when you heard what the charges were and what the penalties could be, the death by hanging and the 100 lashes, and not only that, but being in prison, having your son imprisoned with you, who was just an infant at the time?
It was very, very trying. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even after these charges and you're convicted, you're ultimately convicted in the criminal court for both the apostasy and adultery, and they wanted to make your marriage null and void, they give you an opportunity to leave the Christian faith and walk free. And these three chances, and sheikhs come and visit day by day, say, we'll give you these many days, and if you renounce your faith, you're a free person. You go back to your life, go back to your family, go back to your business. And what was it like dealing with that kind of pressure, knowing that if your conviction was upheld, your children would be taken from their father and wouldn't have a mother?
Even though this was happening to me, and I took on Islam, I would still have problems. And I would still go through court proceedings. And both, Daniel and I, they would probably prosecute us both. And also take 100 stripes.
Mm-hmm. Right, that wouldn't have been taken.
And then after that, they would have to go through that marriage, the court marriage, to make whatever she said valid. Yeah.
So knowing all this and having that opportunity to renounce your faith, your faith played an important role. Did you feel the prayers from people around the world when your story, did you know about how widespread your story had become around the world, that there were world leaders and big superpower governments calling for Sudan to release you? and lots of Christians around the world praying for you, calling for your release, elected officials, and people who weren't even Christians, who just knew this was wrong under human rights. Did you know about that happening in while you were in prison, and could you feel the prayers?
أنا كنت على يعني من الصعب إنه تحصل على أي معلومة أو أي خبر.
It was difficult for me to get any information of any nature.
خاصة بعد الموضوع ما انتشر وبقى على مستوى العالم.
Even after it became known worldwide.
لكن قبل كده ما كان في أي يعني كانت الأمور عادية. بالعكس يعني.
But before that, things were rather normal.
الحراس في المحكمة.
The people that are within the were in the system. They'd always tell me, "Do you want to die?" And they would always tell me, "It's better that you renounce and get back in with Islam." And that was something I would not do.
So many, especially American Christians, Christians in the West, we read about these stories in the New Testament. This brings it to life. We have to realize this is happening around the world to people today. In 2015, this is still going on. People are being killed because of their faith. Going back to your experience, though, a lot of people, even Christians, they would say this would be a very difficult decision for them. They don't know how they would, what they would do if they were given this chance to be with their kids and be with their husband and maybe ask for God's forgiveness. But you stood strong in your faith. What was it about your Christian upbringing and your faith that made you stand strong like that?
I was raised to be a Christian. And it would have been very, very difficult for me to renounce. I just gave my whole situation and burden to the Lord. And I have full confidence and faith that Jesus is my salvation.
You know, it is unbelievable to talk to someone who's gone through it because so few, it's a positive outcome, and you're able to be here in the United States and speak freely about the situation.
My faith in Jesus Christ, I can say, was so big that whether or not I survived it made no difference, but I still believe that he would save me, but if not, it did not make that difference. There was one thing always in my mind when I was in the prison. The picture of Jesus in front of me on that cross and that he died for us.
Folks, you can watch all of the interview I did with Miriam Ibrahim at ACLJ.org. You just go to ACLJ.org, and on the homepage, you click videos, and you'll see it. You scroll down a couple, and it's right there, a picture of Miriam Ibrahim, and you can watch that interview, the full interview I did with her just a couple weeks ago. She went through the situation that these two pastors, Christians, are facing in Sudan, even calling for their ransom here. Folks, we've got to stand with them. We need the grassroots to really engage for these two pastors. Call now. Add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And if you need any more inspiration when it comes to these stories, think about Miriam Ibrahim and her family here now in the United States, safe. Call 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org. No, I can't stand this. Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Today we are focused on two Christian pastors who face a death sentence in Sudan because of, quote, offending Islamic beliefs and, quote, inciting organized groups. Again, this is happening similar to what happened to Miriam Ibrahim. We need that international outcry. The outcry starts here. We put together a movie about this called LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. That's the website. You can watch the whole movie in HD. Absolutely free. Share it with your friends and family. LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. And I want to play for you some of that movie today because you have to have hope. And as Christians, especially as Christians here in the United States, we have a duty, folks, to stand for the persecuted and to speak out when we're able to. And we're able to in this situation involving two Christian pastors. To get involved, sign our brand new petition. You call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's listen to some of our new documentary, Let My People Go.
Well, we're seeing a rise of Islamic extremism. This is not only happening in Iraq, but also in Pakistan, Sudan, Northern Nigeria, Somalia.
The entire church communities, Christian communities, wiped out in places like Syria and Iraq. Where that's our history, that's our heritage. Those are the places we point to as the birthplace of Christianity as we know it. And they want to eradicate our history there. So they want to not just kill the people, they want to destroy the buildings.
You see that right now in the Middle East, especially in the Middle East, but also in Africa, Northern Africa particularly, where people are literally being hung because of their faith. And of course, if you take a situation with a group like ISIS, being beheaded, crucified, simply because they're Christians and will not forcibly be converted to another religion, in that particular case, Islam.
You know, the situation in Iraq, this is one of the most robust Christian communities left in the Middle East. They fled because they were targeted by various jihadi groups.
There are more Iraqi Christians now in Chicago than there are in the whole of Iraq.
ISIS's purpose is to establish a global caliphate, putting everyone under Sharia Islamic law, with no exceptions.
You would think that 1,400 years that this would have been, you know, gone, long gone, but it's coming back, and it's coming back with vengeance, with far less even mercy than those original Islamist invaders.
We're seeing it now more than we ever saw before.
We're going through a period of a great wave of persecution. In fact, Pope Francis has said recently that there's more persecution today than there was in the first century of Rome.
The Islamic recruiters for Al-Qaeda-tied groups like Al-Shabaab, they're going into the slums, into the poor neighborhoods of Nairobi and other major cities in Kenya, and they're offering up jobs. They're saying it's job training. And these are people that don't have a lot of future, that don't necessarily have a lot going for them in life, and then ultimately they end up at a terrorist training camp where they're indoctrinated.
There's no reasoning, that they do not understand reasoning. They think Allah said it, and therefore we are His emissaries, and we've got to do it.
ووفقهم ومكنهم لتحقيق غايتهم وإن أردتم موعود الله فجاهدوا في سبيل الله.
If you see the brutality that is engaged in by ISIS, what is the commonality with all of these regimes? They really target Christians.
For the first time, there will be no, since Christianity, there'll be no Christmas in 2014 in the entire area of Nineveh. Because ISIS has driven out every last Christian and closed every last church.
Folks, you just heard a part of our new documentary, which is available for you absolutely free. It's called Let My People Go, and you go to the website, it's LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com, about the persecuted church, the work that we're doing. This is a brand new movie. It includes never-before-seen footage of Saeed Abedini and his family and sit-downs and discussions with people who are facing the threat from the Islamic State. Go to LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. Watch it. It's absolutely free, and share it with your friends and family. Also, let's take a stand for these two Christian pastors in Sudan who are facing a death penalty. Call now. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. A twisted fate to justify a violent need.
In Sudan, two Christian pastors face a possible death sentence for their faith. The two were arrested months ago by Sudan's Islamist security services. Their crime? Their Christian faith. Their punishment? A possible death sentence. These two Christian pastors are set to face trial in just days. Just like Miriam Ibrahim, who was sentenced to die in Sudan for her Christian faith last year, these two pastors could be sentenced to hang for their faith if the world is silent. Miriam is now free because you spoke out. Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Today we are focused on two Christian pastors who face a death sentence in Sudan because of, quote, offending Islamic beliefs and, quote, inciting organized groups. Again, this is happening similar to what happened to Miriam Ibrahim. We need that international outcry. The outcry starts here. We put together a movie about this called LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. That's the website. You can watch the whole movie in HD. Absolutely free. Share it with your friends and family. LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. And I want to play for you some of that movie today because you have to have hope. And as Christians, especially as Christians here in the United States, we have a duty, folks, to stand for the persecuted and to speak out when we're able to. And we're able to in this situation involving two Christian pastors. To get involved, sign our brand new petition. You call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's listen to some of our new documentary, Let My People Go.
Thousands and thousands of refugees have had to flee Nineveh. They've got no homes. They live in churches on the floor. They live in plastic tents. They've got nothing.
Christians, at best, are treated like second-class citizens, or at worst, like in Iraq today and in Syria. No matter what they do, they cannot exist. Their churches cannot remain open. They must be killed or driven out.
What we have worked for and achieved is just being banished overnight.
The stories that we hear about here in the U.S. are the ones that are the most shocking and the most brutal, and the ones that really, they shock the conscience. You almost can't believe. It's not just a simple murder, if you put it that way, but it's done in such a barbaric way that we all take a step back and say, this is how poorly people view Christians. They don't value their life at all.
At the same time, there are Muslims who are wanting just to live a life. There are many of these people who are being annihilated as well. They are being killed in Mosul. They're being killed in these other cities because they won't join ISIS. They just want to live their life. And so they have been executed as well. So if it is Christians, no question, but there's also Muslims that are suffering too under this.
They are saying this is not Islam. This is not what we stand for, and this is not what we have developed in our relationship together over the years. We love each other, we respect each other, and now There is nothing there but total isolation and destruction.
Not stopping ISIS is not an option. ISIS has to be crushed. They have to be completely eliminated. You have to defeat them militarily. You have to defeat them politically. You have to defeat them in the hearts and minds of Muslims. And that's a part of this process. It has to be eliminated.
A Muslim mob in Pakistan that's burning a couple alive in between two pieces of metal. And there's a crowd cheering that. I mean, you're talking about front lines of extremism where there are Christians being killed almost on a daily basis.
People are still getting killed. People are still getting tortured.
You've got a combination of lethality capability that previous generations that were on an Islamic conquest did not have, weaponry, sophistication, telecommunications, social media.
ISIS is serious about its business of mass destruction. And whether we are in Washington, New York, or London, we are all at risk.
Instead of dealing with slings and arrows, or even bullets, you could be dealing with a situation where you have weapons of mass destruction.
They have killed people. They have chopped their heads off. They have cut little children in half. It is so painful. These were people that we loved. These were our people, and they have gone.
The United States is the strongest government in the world. We have the best military in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. And if you put our intelligence capabilities together with our allies and really determine who our allies are, there is no doubt we have the capability to stop this and end it.
When the U.S. speaks, the world listens. Even if it's an enemy of the United States, like a North Korea, the world has to pay attention. We, I think, have a very important role. We finance, we do so much foreign funding, billions of dollars a year is going out from the United States to these countries. And that's why I think we have to make decisions ultimately, very soon in the future. How much are we going to let these countries get away with persecuting people before we say we're going to cut your funding off?
You know, many governments are self-conscious about their human rights records. Not all, but many are. And that's important to use that spotlight, shining the spotlight to show the injustice of these governments.
But then you ask a question. So who are our allies? Turkey's a member of NATO, yet the greatest funnel for people leaving Europe to join with ISIS, they flow right through Turkey.
I think the U.S. government can play a very important role with these cases in Pakistan because Pakistan and the United States are allies. We all know that money has strings attached, so maybe let's put another string to it and say, let's release these people who are accused, falsely accused of the blasphemy cases, and they're spending their lives in prison. So I think it's important that the U.S. government brings up these issues with the Pakistani government.
We give billions of dollars of aid to Pakistan. Turkey is a NATO partner. But what are we getting in return for this? Nothing. Let's start exercising the power of the purse. This is the perfect time for the United States to put conditions, human right conditions, on our aid. If you support terror, if you give a safe haven to terror, if you are aiding and abetting a terrorist, you don't get U.S. aid, period.
Our founders intentionally set this government up to have stress between the branches. We at the ACLJ use that stress to our advantage. The executive branch often does not want to engage these cases of religious persecution. The legislative branch, because they're closer to the people, are often more inclined to engage them. Therefore, we often leverage the legislative branch to force the executive branch to action.
Well, there are political actions we can take, and one is using the bully pulpit. Our president, our secretary of state, should be raising these cases every time they have an opportunity.
In order to make a difference in some cases, we need people who are free from religious persecution to advocate for those who are not. And this is why the tie between America and the rest of the world is so important. We live under the protections of the First Amendment. Those who don't, those who are persecuted for their faith, need someone to stand in the gap for them. At the ACLJ, one of the main things that we do is give our members an opportunity to advocate for those who can't advocate for themselves.
Well, one of the things that we do consistently is make sure that our elected officials know exactly where we stand as American citizens on these issues. You know, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, everybody quotes the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and that's all in there. But there's also a provision in the First Amendment that says you're allowed to petition the government for a redress of a grievance.
But first, our world lead, a man in prison who may feel as if he's forgotten, but he has not been forgotten by his friends and family. But hopefully, he's also not been forgotten by his government.
Has the president been kept apprised of his situation?
I don't have a statement. I'll have to take the question. You know, the president is obviously updated on a variety of issues with regards to Iran, but I don't have anything specific for you on that.
There's always a reaction that you kind of say when you hear about something like this, like Saeed's situation, and you get involved in it, and he's been arrested and put under house arrest for being a Christian. You want to kind of jump, and you have this reactionary feeling that, okay, I need to jump to the news. I need to tell the news.
Anytime you get a case where there's either a death penalty or the equivalent of a death penalty for someone being persecuted for their faith, you need time to analyze the situation and also work intergovernmentally. In other words, we needed to find out what the United States State Department, in Saeed Abedini's case, what they were willing to do. How far would the State Department go in seeking his release? What international agencies they would bring to bear on his situation? That takes time. Timing is very important in all of these cases.
In Saeed's situation, we really did wait as long as possible to try and get it resolved before going public. And what we have a balance. The balance is this. Is it going to put them at more risk by going public? Or are we at a point now where there's so much risk that going public may be the only reason they stay alive? And to this day, I think that the only reason Saeed Abedini hasn't been killed in prison and is still the possibility of coming home is because we decided to go public when we did.
It was a very difficult decision to go public. We waited 3 months from the day he was physically taken, which anyone wants to immediately call media and say, my husband's gone, we don't know where he is, but we waited, we were patient, and we wanted to try other avenues before going forward.
Folks, you just heard a part of our new documentary, which is available for you absolutely free. It's called Let My People Go, and you go to the website, it's letmypeoplegomovie.com. About the persecuted church, the work that we're doing. This is a brand new movie. It includes never-before-seen footage of Saeed Abedini and his family and sit-downs and discussions with people who are facing the threat from the Islamic State. Go to letmypeoplegomovie.com. Watch it. It's absolutely free, and share it with your friends and family. Also, let's take a stand for these two Christian pastors in Sudan who are facing a death penalty. Call now. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Has been laid bare. I can't pretend it's just not
real. The time is now. We must be. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. In Sudan, two Christian pastors face a possible death sentence for their faith. The two were arrested months ago by Sudan's Islamist security services. Their crime? Their Christian faith. Their punishment? A possible death sentence. These two Christian pastors are set to face trial in just days. Just like Miriam Ibrahim, who was sentenced to die in Sudan for her Christian faith last year, these two pastors could be sentenced to hang for their faith if the world is silent. Miriam is now free because you spoke out. Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
to prevail. Father in heaven. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Today we are focused on two Christian pastors who face a death sentence in Sudan because of, quote, offending Islamic beliefs and, quote, inciting organized groups. Again, this is happening similar to what happened to Miriam Ibrahim. We need that international outcry. The outcry starts here. We put together a movie about this called LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. That's the website. You can watch the whole movie in HD. Absolutely free. Share it with your friends and family. LetMyPeopleGoMovie.com. And I want to play for you some of that movie today because you have to have hope. And as Christians, especially as Christians here in the United States, we have a duty, folks, to stand for the persecuted and to speak out when we're able to. And we're able to in this situation involving two Christian pastors. To get involved, sign our brand new petition. You call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Let's listen to some of our new documentary, Let My People Go.
We went public because Saeed was being tortured, because he was being beaten. And we knew that although that would corner the Iranian government into having to find a solution very publicly, it also could potentially protect him from those beatings, from that torture.
It was right before Christmas of 2012 that we knew he had a court date. Once you get a court date in the revolutionary court system, you're going to be found guilty. The question is, how long will your sentence be, and will it be a death sentence, and what happens next? So we knew we had to go public.
And welcome back to Hannity. A 32-year-old American pastor, the Reverend Saeed Abedini, has been detained by one of Iran's most notorious prisons since late September for charges that have not been made public, other than the fact that he is a convert Christian.
Concerns are growing for an American pastor who remains locked up inside an Iranian prison. His alleged crime? He's a Christian.
Well, for Christmas, this should be the most joyous time of the year, but one American family is spending the season fighting to get a pastor freed from prison, 32-year-old Reverend Saeed Abedini.
Jay, not very different from what we see happening. Coptic Christians are being persecuted in Egypt.
Right.
A lot of Christians in the Muslim world, this is not uncommon. It's happening more and more, as a matter of fact, as we see the rise of radicalism.
Well, I heard about it on the media, like most Americans, and I was just appalled and shocked. But I also thought, well, with this media attention, he'll be getting out of jail soon. They're bound to release him. Why would they want this bad publicity? But it just doesn't seem to affect the Iranians. It's like they don't care.
Let's talk about this pastor who remains in jail. He's being held there simply by the fact that he's a Christian?
That's basically it. Pastor Saeed is 32 years old. He's been in the worst prison, the most notorious prison in Tehran, Evin prison, since September.
And so it's been very difficult, and especially during Christmas time, there's a big hole in our family.
An Iranian-American pastor imprisoned in Iran is set to go on trial January 21st.
Although he has been in custody since September, the criminal charges that he faces date back to the year 2000. That's when Abedini converted from Islam to Christianity, an act which carries the death sentence in Iran.
What is known about the judge or judges, David Lee?
Well, this judge has been called one of Iran's hanging judges.
This is another example of Muslims persecuting Christians. It happened in Egypt. It happened in Nigeria. It's happened all over that area, and you got to stop
it. As for Abedini, he remains steadfast and says he is prepared to hang for his faith in Jesus. His supporters are urging Washington to do more to pressure Iran to set him free.
Well, this sounds very ominous. An American pastor from Idaho disappears from a jail in Iran.
Now, the pastor's family says that he is missing.
This Thursday, they went to the prison and he was not there. They don't know where he is. As of now, there was no notice, and we're hoping to be able to find out where he is soon.
Jordan, either it's a bureaucratic mess up, or they're incompetent, or they have done something sinister.
I think with Iran, you assume the worst, but you hope for the best. Saeed was charged and convicted of attempting to undermine the national security of the Islamic Republic of Iran by his work with what was called illegal gatherings back in the early 2000s.
That, by the way, is typically what these governments will do, because they view a Christian as a national security threat. Now, we look at that in the West and say that's absolutely absurd. So the initial charge in any of these cases is usually focused on an issue of national security.
The illegal gatherings that they thought were going to overthrow the government were house churches that were legal. he had no legal problems then. You know, so over a decade ago, he wasn't getting arrested there. He wasn't getting in trouble. He was a convert from Islam and had a Christian wedding in Iran that was government okayed. It got the, you know, normal government approval for a wedding. The family ultimately left Iran and returned back to Nagmeh's home in the United States. But his charge and his conviction is being a national security threat to Iran, and the act there, what he did to become that national security threat, was being a Christian.
The word jizya is different from the word dara'ib. Dara'ib means taxes. Jizya means punishment or penalty. And it is only applied to Jews and Christians, whom they call the people of the book.
Number one, you can pay a tax. But these people have no money, so they can't pay the tax. Number two, you can convert. You could leave your faith in Christianity or whatever the particular religion is, convert to Islam, and that will keep you alive. Or three, you'll be executed. That may be by hanging, by being shot, by being crucified, by being beheaded. They tend to go for beheadings because they use that as a recruiting tool. And there are not really many options here because these people don't have money to pay a tax and live in peace.
There was a certain amount of protection, even from Assad in Syria, there's been a certain amount of protection for minorities, even the Jewish community.
Right.
But now with Saddam Hussein gone, with the war we see in Syria, there is no protection anymore.
These people you cannot deal with. They will not talk with you. There is nothing you can reasonably achieve. You can only survive. You can only function by the supernatural power of God.
You can give a person a chance to recant. And if they do, they could be forgiven. But if they refuse to recant, then they're to be executed. And we see this happen in the Middle East where people have come to faith in Christ, and it's the duty of the family to force them to recant. If they don't, then the family executes them. And we have seen a number of cases of that over the years.
In many Muslim countries today, where there are minorities, Christian, Jewish, minorities, even women who are not minorities, are treated like second-class citizens under Islamic law. Their testimony is worth less or weighted less than a Muslim man's in a court.
Muslims have a voice in a court proceeding that is elevated much higher than any other faith. In fact, many other faiths, including Christianity, it's hard to get them in trial. We have to take international efforts to get these cases in trial. And then you put on top of that, in Asiya Bibi's case, a female. Well, that's even a lower rung.
Folks, you can take action for the persecuted. There's a specific case involving two Christians in Sudan, two pastors. They are now on trial, and they could be sentenced to death. So we've got to take action. They're being charged with similar charges as people like Saeed Abedini have faced in Iran, quote, inciting organized groups and offending Islamic beliefs. We have to take a stand for them. Their life is that it's really in the balance, and it starts with the grassroots. Starts right here with us talking about it, sharing it with your friends and family. Add your name to our petition for them now. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Speak out now for these two Christian pastors. The ACLJ is mobilizing to save these two pastors. Stand with the ACLJ. Send a message. We're demanding that Sudan release these two Christian pastors. Add your name to our new petition today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.